Welcome, everybody, to the Experience Grind podcast, the show about getting older and the experiences we've learned along the way. My name is Sean, and this week's co-hosts are today are, don't call me Mowgli, it's Ryan.
Hey, guys, Monkey Man might be my new favorite Marvel movie.
With him is who I would call the King Louie of the show. It's Dave.
Oh, hi, boys.
Oh, hi.
I feel as though the Jungle Book bit ran its course here a bit quicker than it did in this movie, because up next we just have Kyle.
Oh, I'm glad that you called Dave the giant ugly orangutan and not me, so.
It was originally you.
I knew it!
I just didn't want to have Ryan, then Kyle, and like separating the shows like, oh, yeah, yeah. And last up to step into this dusty fighting ring of microphones, we have Brian.
I would be Baloo, though, right?
Yeah, that is where it was going to originally go. I felt both terrible for having typed that, but also felt like I would have gotten shit if I didn't, so I just cut the bit completely.
That's, yeah. It's the safest.
Somebody's got to bail. I get you.
Also, it is
all right. Bye, guys.
Hi, everybody. today, I have brought you all together to talk about the 2024 movie Monkey Man, directed, co-written, and starring Dev Patel. This is a movie that I have been wanting to see literally since it was in theaters, and for some reason, never found the chance to see it. Perhaps waiting for one of these action movie months. I'm a little bummed that I waited so long, but guys, have any of you seen this before?
I had never heard of this before you brought it up, and based on the name, I thought it was stupid and I would hate it.
What?
Wow.
Really?
Do you just not like monkey for now. And monkey things?
I thought it was going to be like a cheap Ip Man ripoff.
Oh, okay. Man.
I had seen that.
Going off, that's what I thought. Okay. I thought it was a guy rescuing like a monkey sanctuary. Because I knew
A hero Jane Goodall? Jay and Silent Bob Strike
but
Back.
But saving
when they get
the monkey sanctuary with Kung Fu.
I mean, Dave.
That is Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
True.
Also, a hero Jane Goodall flick, like where she's John Wicking, would be also pretty badass. Maybe? Did she
I'd
look badass?
It.
Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I get her blind with like Martha Stewart. And weirdly, the lady who played Aunt May.
Okay,
so a couple badass shows.
Now we know who to cast.
Rosemary Harris, that's it.
So you have like the Helen Keller, Anne Frank thing going
on? Old white ladies with pony buns. Keller.
Rosemary Harris saves the monkeys in.
Brian, have you seen this before?
Whoa. No, I've never seen this.
Dave?
Nope, wanted to, so I was very happy when you said it.
Wow. Nice. Ryan, I think you're the only one here that had seen it, right?
Correct. I had.
Did you rewatch it for this episode?
A few months ago. A good bit of it. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So you saw it a few months ago, so you didn't see it in theaters?
No, I saw it on Peacock.
Peacock!
Oh, nice.
The best streaming service. It's not.
Certainly my favorite.
Do you, following up on that, do you guys go out to the theaters much, or is it
three fucking kids, Sean.
Okay. Barring Dave, do you guys?
I do not since COVID, man. I've seen two movies in theaters. I've said it. I saw Dune and I saw the Bob's Burgers movies. That's all I've been to the theater, man.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm pretty much.
Wow. I don't like it anymore.
Pretty much just kids' movies and Marvel releases.
Interesting. Ryan, do you get out to the theaters much?
It's not far off from Brian, minus the kids' releases. Like, there will be, like, a Dune in Dune Part 2 every once in a while, or, like, a Dream Scenario we got out and saw. Like, every once in a while we'll go out and see, like, one. But we used to go every 2 weeks to, like, a movie at the very least. And now, I think this year, maybe 3 times.
Wow.
That's shocking.
It's dropped off.
3 times this year. But I also, I'm Marvel and kids movies, and then if there's something else I just really want to see, I will make the time. Like Wicked.
Yeah.
I
haven't seen Wicked, and I'm bummed about it.
It's so damn good. And then Sean told me to read the book, and I started reading the book. Yeah, but Sean, I got to tell you this, man. After reading the book, I love that there's a version of Oz where they say fuck. I love it. I just find it so charming.
Very dirty and perverted.
It's very. I texted Sean. That's I was like, dude, this is a horny book.
Yeah, that's what I heard. So I kind of want to read it too.
He was only like two chapters in.
Oh. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, they
say
fuck
any of this in the movie?
And no,
like,
but
any
I just
hint of it?
In the Wicked movie?
Yeah, is there any
the horniness?
No.
Of like,
no, it's PG movie. They could get away with one. They chose not to because they're classy.
Yeah. But also, like, the horniness, if you know the story, you can kind of see it sprinkled
there.
In there in the beginning.
It's there.
But that's it. You kind of have to know that it's there and what's going
can
on.
Can you imagine if the 1939 version of Wizard of Oz followed this version of Wizard of Oz? And it's like, it finally had a fucking brain.
To piggyback off of what you're just talking about, this is, I do see a lot of movies and theaters still. Whenever there's something that even strikes interest, I try to make it out to see it. And this is one that I wish that I saw in theaters. This is like one of those action movies that I wish. But to really get into the hows and whys, I would love to pass it first to Ryan. It looks like you got a question.
Oh, no, not a question. Just an interesting thing. This almost wasn't in theaters. It had a $30 million budget, and they just
thank
wanted
you, Jordan
to cancel
Peele.
And pull it all together. Yeah, but Jordan Peele and Monkey Paw came together at the last minute and put it out there. Netflix was
going
to fucking cancel this, like a Batgirl thing. Fucked up, but I'm glad
which
they
is nuts,
with it.
Man.
Well, they pick it up from the Netflix because it was supposed to be just streaming.
Right.
And I think, are you sure? I'm pretty sure it had a $10 million budget.
Was that right? My number might have been with like advertising after the fact. I might be getting that confused.
And they were running out of money the entire time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
it is all on
the
screen
whole
though.
Time.
We will get there.
Yeah.
It's
they
all
filmed
there.
This during COVID, which I also didn't know. Mm-hmm. And that's crazy that it took this long to come out, dude.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that they CGI'd the masks out. That was crazy.
That's where all the money.
No, wait. Ryan, I see your face. No, that didn't happen, Ryan.
I mean, I want to believe.
CGI budget.
What's wrong with wanting to believe?
Because it has the word lie in it, bro.
But it also has
deep.
It's like the most metal thing you've ever said.
Bev.
B, as in. Be
wait,
true.
Bevy? The beverage is a lie.
Get the bevy lie.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, to get us back on the rails, Kyle, I know that you put together a little synopsis for this movie, and I would love to send it over to you so the listeners can have some sort of clue about what we're going to be actually talking about in the Kick-Ass-O-Meter. But also, spoiler warning for you folks, this is free on Amazon Prime, so I recommend just go watch it and come back. But if you've seen it or don't care, Kyle, take it away.
Like most religions of a certain era, this is based around a mystical monkey that saves humanity named Hanuman. He was a monkey that had the passion and went up and the gods punished him and burned him. Basically, monkey see sun, monkey eat sun. God take monkey's powers and burn him alive.
Yeah.
Is the gist that we get from this mother telling her son, who smart viewers will piece together that it is our hero and his mother. We get pieces of a tragedy as we flash back around through this man's life. But it starts officially with Monkey Man getting his ass kicked in an underground fight club. All of the fighters in this fight club wear masks reminiscent of The Jungle Book, as Sean alluded to earlier. Our man, Monkey Man, is fighting first up King Cobra, who's, I gotta say, his mask looks way more comfortable to fight in than Monkey Man's.
He looks like he's about to rob a bank.
I just want to go out there and apologize to Tyler Durden right away, because Kyle just talked about Fight Club an awful lot, and we don't need you blowing up our bank buildings. Thank you.
I do say Fight Club a few more times here, too.
Or do we?
Literally, the only rule is to not talk about Fight Club.
I know. But
refer to the second rule.
If
you
listen to the Patreon that comes out on Friday.
I don't care.
Kyle is a rule breaker, famously. It's a famous rule breaker.
After we get, we view Monkey Man getting his ass beat, he walks off, he slumps off, and he gets paid by a surprise I didn't see coming, Mr. Charlton Copley. Or Cooper. How the fuck do you say his name?
Charlton Copley?
Oh, there's an L in there. Okay. I didn't fat finger that L in there. But yeah, the dude from District 9.
Chappie.
Hardcore Henry. He's like one of the mains in that. I love this guy.
I'm always surprised by his accent.
Always am too. He's South African.
South African.
My own country back in Africa.
I like That's how he's sense. All cool with Not Slumdog bad. Millionaire over here, but then he comes back and he kind of like shows his authority and his dominance over him.
Well, so Monkey Man loses. He goes backstage to meet the ringmaster to get his money, and he only gets half because he didn't bleed, which confused the shit out of me because this dude is spitting blood all over the place. Mm-hmm. What do they mean he didn't bleed?
He didn't bleed temporarily, but this movie has a habit of like not ever really doing any damage to that beautiful face of Dev Patel's. And the next day after any of these fights, he's pristine as a newborn.
I think it's
face.
The mask.
Good. That's good though. Dev Patel's a very handsome man.
You don't want to damage it. But it is
No, and
for somebody who gets the John Wick shit kicked out of him often, he is surprisingly like photogenic. Often in this movie.
It was about three quarters of the movie through it before you even see like little nicks and bobs around his face as he's going into the VIP room. And I'm thinking to myself, who's letting this schlub in? He's got nicks and cuts all over his face.
But did you see his hair?
Gorgeous.
He's got great wet hair. This is a very wet movie. Very wet movie.
I'm comfortable in my sexuality, but Dev Patel can fucking get it, boys. Let me tell you.
I think Dev Patel could get it so much that I think he would be a fascinating choice for James Bond.
I don't hate
100%
that.
100% into it. Ryan disagrees?
No. Agreed 100%. I was just going to say, I like to think, I agree. That Dev Patel's super fucking sexy. And I like to think when he shot that scene where he took off his shirt and all of like the women started screaming at him, that wasn't ego. That's just what happened on set, and he happened to film.
That is really what
the
happened.
The camera happened to be rolling.
It happened to catch it.
Uh-huh.
That literally is what happened.
Then he looked at the camera, winked, and said, "Did you get it?
Get it, girls?"
Guess you can do a montage Charlton now.
Copley also has a great little line here that I love when he just, after he tells him what to do, he says, "Dance, monkey, dance."
Yep.
Then we set up. We meet the... We don't know it yet, but she runs this underground club, but she's very high class, high society. She's having coffee out in public, and a blind man in a wheelchair comes up trying to get charity from her, but this man is a pickpocket. And then we get a really cool shot scene of this pickpocket changing hands all throughout the underground city of Mumbai, and I really love how it shows like the interconnectedness of this crime empire, because everybody knows everybody. Everybody's help passing it off until I think it goes through like 15, 20 people before it finally ends up in
the right
Monkey
hands.
Man's hands.
This scene reminded me, I kept getting horrific flashbacks to that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Christmas special where it starts off with just somebody pickpocketing something and it changes hand like 40 times. That is the only moment of the night that I was sober. All went downhill from there.
Yeah, I don't remember that part of it, so.
I don't either, and I've seen that movie a lot.
Oh, why?
The Christmas special.
I haven't.
Because I was a kid, and I loved the Turtles movie.
Doesn't matter.
That's all it takes. Yeah. That's all you need.
So, it's a ruse, or a cunning attempt to trick this lady, because he takes her purse back to try to get a job from her, because we see in the flashbacks of his mom something tragic happening. Somebody is lighting a cigar with a very distinct matchbook that is black with a gold crown. And we come to learn this lady runs that place, so he wants to get hired there. We're starting to piece together why.
This movie does a beautiful job of laying breadcrumbs.
It does exposition well.
Everything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've got a checkoff reference.
Best way to do it.
Yeah. I've got a good checkoff reference here. But he goes in. She doesn't want to hire him. And he shows her his hands, which we see now are very, very scarred, but we don't know why. But he says, "Give me the job no one wants to do. I'll do it, no complaint." And she hires him, and he goes back. and is sleeping, and we cut to Dave's dream scenario of being in the middle of a room full of sleeping Indian men.
Yeah. We've all been there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If Dev tells one of those men, sign me up.
I've been in the Korean situation of that.
Okay. We get lots of
choice? By choice, or were you against your will? This is important.
Oh, true.
No, was it North or South Korea?
It was the communal bathtubs. So I got to be in the whole area.
Didn't answer the question about the North or South here.
South.
It's important.
South. Yeah. Okay. No, I don't think I would be allowed in North Korea.
Question of this. Does everybody have to sleep on their back, or are you in a constant state of a conundrum of if you sleep D to butt or butt to butt?
D to butt?
I wouldn't be able to deal with this scenario. There's just too many feet.
Patreon
listeners, do it.
Oh man,
you'll find out.
I'm sure that room was very ripe.
Like, even Quentin Tarantino would look at this scene and be like, I'm good, thank you.
So during this, there's a lot of quick cut, inner cut scenes. He eventually sees something that causes him to have a bit of a panic attack, and we have a lot of more flashbacks to his past and the tragedy that happened. And then we meet Alfonso, a smaller man that seems to have some power within this group. And he, Monkey Man, realizes that he can become friendly with this guy. And so he starts working with him, and he asks him his name. And I really like this aspect. Monkey Man really Kaiser Soze's a name together. He says, my name's Bobby, because the bleach he uses is Bobby Bleach.
Do you think that this smaller man who is showing off this power has actual power?
No.
Or do you think that he has like just enough to walk around?
Oh, yeah.
It seems like he's really, really, really low on this
totem
pole.
He is the lowest of low with one job that makes him feel promotion better than everybody else. Yep.
Assistant to the regional manager. Got it.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
Fredo.
Monkey Man uses him much like he uses another character very soon, because all that Monkey Man cares about is revenge. That's the only thing this dude is driven for. It's revenge against the people who, I mean, spoiler alert, we find out, killed his mom. And that's the whole basis of everything he's done. He only fights so he can save up to go buy a 38 special from an underground weapons seller, which is another really cool scene that like shows how shady and interconnected the underground is, because he just goes up to a food vendor and says, give me this basic thing and add this to it. And that's like, we figure out it's a code word for a gun, because he gives him a wad of money that he wraps up in the food and gives it to a kid, and he takes him there and he buys the 38 special. I really like the reference when the guy who's selling the gun says, oh, you like John Wick? I have John Wick's gun right here. Because they do make specific reference to John Wick. Dev Patel said because he thought that was the only way American audiences would gain a reference to really it. But also, really, if you do like John Wick, you will like Monkey Man. I just want to say that.
I feel like that the Indian police could crack every single underground crime ring that they want if they just stop every single male walking alone with a child.
I mean, that was the essential basis of Stop and Frisk in New York, was it not?
That's totally different. That you're talking about.
Profiling a different kind of brand.
That's a different type of profile. I feel like most of these movies have like that one shady child or lots of shady children. They use these children to kind of herd the baddies to the bad area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Follow the kids.
I like how, like Kyle said, this whole movie is, it's a story of revenge, but it's a story of revenge told in two parts. And you spend the first half of the movie building up to the first attempt at revenge. And it's like every little thing that happens is one step closer, whether it be the fighting ring to getting her pocketbook, getting the job, getting the gun. It's all of this. And it's like every step along the way just felt so clean to me.
We'll get there.
And along the way, they're giving you these hints about the obstacles he's going to have to overcome. Like, they show you the metal detector on the way into the the restaurant and all that stuff. The club.
I love the dog. Hard stop.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So
we
set up
puppy.
this dog that he finds in the alley after he has this panic attack, and he starts being sweet to it. He gives it food. He also meets a prostitute that he saw in the upper echelons of the club. Well, I kind of got ahead of myself here. Monkey Man tells Alfonso, because again, he wants to, he knows Alfonso can go to the VIP areas where he wants to get into, because everything that was bad that happened to him was because of this one police chief who he knows also goes to this VIP area. So he's trying to work his way in here. So he starts working Alfonso and he says, hey man, if you want to double that money that you just got, come to this place tonight and bet on me to go down in the third, because that's what's going to happen. And Alfonso's like, okay, but why are you telling me all this? And he says, all I want, man, is a promotion. I want to sell these drinks.
I love that he does it because he wants to earn this guy's trust. He's going to get this guy paid. But I think what I love more than that is the cop that they use, the Indian officer who's kind of in charge of everything.
Rana.
He is much bigger than all the other guys. He is intimidating as hell.
Extremely.
He does such a good job. He feels powerful.
I feel like I'm absolutely going to talk about him when we get into antagonists later on in the movie, because he really does feel so imposing for someone that's not even really that tall. He's just a large ass, scary looking man with all of the power. But that makes me think, okay, so he tells Alfonso to go to this fight and bet on him to lose in the third, that he's going to win the first two and go down in the third. Is he taking dives intentionally through the first half of this movie so that he can set up a scenario where he wins a shitload of money in case he needs to, because he's such an underdog?
I think he's supposed to lose these. I think he is the heel of the whole underground fighting ring.
They set it up that way with like the poster later too, like Return of the Beast type things. They want, it's almost like it's wrestling. He's the heel, as Brian said.
Right. I guess it's just hard for me to, when there's betting. I don't know. Anyways.
No, everything's totally on the up and up. Sport is totally legal everywhere. Like, no one's ever done anything shady.
I share your sentiment exactly, Sean. I think the betting is kind of, it's whatever. This movie's a, well, later. Get into that. I do think there's a bit of like ambiguity to the betting that's a little weird. We only see him ever fucking lose. And so like if, and this is just, I don't know if this is filmmaking or whatever, maybe we're supposed to just pretend in our minds that he wins other fights, but like this guy losing every single fight, who's coming to that fight to bet on him to win? At this point, you know, he's just losing every single time. We never see Monkey Man win. It's only when he's not really Monkey Man that he does shit and gets shit done. But like when he's in the ring, he's never winning.
I was trying to figure out how they were supporting paying people out. Like if he's just taking dives all the time. But also I think you're right in that he's like, he's supposed to lose due to how upset Tiger is that he's beating all of his big guys. Spoilers later. But
I think they're probably just betting on when he's going to go down.
Oh.
Okay. I think the whole thing's set up as you have a hero and you have your face, you have your heel. You know the heel's going to lose eventually. It's just betting on when he gets his ass kicked.
Seems as on the up and up as Logan Paul versus Mike Tyson.
Okay. I was also going to say, at no point does Chateau Copley's character strike me as an ethical betting person that is not ripping every person off at that venue. So I imagine there's fuckery afoot too, especially like we said, when we come back later and he just does what he has to get the money. And he's like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. With a name like Tiger. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
But anyway, so
do you got
Bobby
something
Bleach
against the kid from Major Pain, Sean?
All of the problems, Dave.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So Monkey Man or Bobby Bleach gets his promotion and he's serving drinks in the much fancier basement where, God damn, man, this fucking movie hits everything for me. Where these rich scumbag fucks meet to pick up sex trafficked girls. Because as we overhear many times, Queenie, the lady who runs the place, is constantly negotiating for new girls to please these upper echelon clientele that she brings in. This is where all the seedy people meet. And I love that as you go, I can't tell if you're going lower or higher in this place. I guess higher at the end. Each level gets fancier as you go up. Like this first level, he's in the full tux and he's got the champagne and he's moving everything around. And at this point, we put together that Monkey Man is out for revenge against this police chief, this big Rama
chief
guy.
Chief Rana.
So, Rana.
Who do you think the marketing person is who has to put together this lookbook of human trafficking?
That was, okay, I want to say fantastic, but also, like, I feel like a horrible person saying that was fantastic. But I thought that was a great prop.
It was really well made.
That designer is the same person who designed the Snowpiercer train. And they're like, this cart's going to be just a little bit more. This cart's all cockroaches and shit, just really dingy. But this one, let's do a little kindergarten theme. Make it a little nice. Before we get to the real rich bits up. Same designer.
I went to art school, and now I get to design this human trafficking menu.
Yeah.
It's the Stormtroopers clerks.
It's like, how do you get promoted there? Do you, like, just, you change up the look? You're like, listen, I know you said 18 and over has to go towards the front of the book to keep it on the up and up. But how about this? And then she's like, genius.
Yeah, this club called Kings, run by Queenie, is basically just a hedonism club where you can get any pleasure that you want for rich people and people of influence and power.
I thought you were asking who in real life would put a book like this together.
No, and that's
I was
going
to make
person.
A reference to my my Patreon episode with my milkman, because that guy looks like the type of guy to put this type of book together. So
you give a guy the internet and a printer, and they could be dangerous.
Uh huh. Oh yeah, all of us can be. We put together that Monkey Man's village was massacred by this police force. We see cuts to the police shooting and his village being scared and people dying. At this point, this is where Monkey Man has his panic attack because he sees the police chief and he runs outside and he's losing his clothes. He's kind of getting just hot and overwhelmed. And this is where we meet the puppy dog. We get a little montage. We also, the prostitute that he was making eyes with upstairs has also come down, and she tells him to not care about the dog, and he just continues to go through it. And I love this. There's a little rug pull that comes later, because we get a little montage of him training the dog how to sit. He's giving it food. He's teaching it things. And we think, oh, he's going to have a friend. And I started to worry, like, oh, man, somebody's going to fucking hurt this dog. This is just John Wick all over again. But eventually, it's not that. It becomes a Schrodinger's gun, parentheses, trained transport pup. And it's a fucking fantastic thing, because we have been seeing him go into the club repeatedly through a metal detector with the green light, so we know he can't bring the gun in. So what's he do? He puts this .38 special he bought, he wraps it to the dog's neck, because the dog can get through the fence, and it brings him his gun on the day he's going to do his thing.
It's like if Caesar Milan broke bad.
Yes.
Pavlov's Chekhov.
It's the last thing you hear before you die is
So Monkey Man now has his gun, and he is going to confront and kill this police chief. And I love the music of the remixed usage of the police.
Yes.
That remix is fucking hitting, dude.
The first time it hit Roxanne, I giggled a little bit. I was like, is this supposed to be a joke? And then it was like, actually, this is a pretty excellent remix.
Yeah, I was really digging it.
I said that so many times through this movie. The remixes that just kept popping through this movie every single time, it made the movie even better for me. Every single track that popped on. And even when it wasn't like a super noticeable thing, it popped. We'll get there later. But
there's another cover right after this one, too, that also stuck out.
But Jefferson in touching Airplane. With what you were saying, Kyle, in terms of taking out Rana, I absolutely, trying to take out Rana, I adored. It's just another one of those breadcrumb things where he mentions, oh, my hands are all fucked up because of bleach. And then he takes his name from Bob's Bleach. And then it turns out that he subs bleach in instead of cocaine. And that's what he gives him. Like, it's just
to send him to the bathroom.
Just one of multiple things in this movie that it's not just this one off thing. It's just planted from the very beginning.
And as Dave mentioned earlier, the breadcrumbs. There's also another great one when we first see the police chief up close. because it cuts to the side and we see this cut that goes from his face through his ear. And it's just a quick cut, but it deliberately shows it to be a reference later. And it also, man, the payoffs are just everywhere in this flick.
Nothing wasted.
Ryan had shook his head at the police remix. You didn't like the police remix?
I'm with Sean, honestly. I liked a lot of the remixes. I thought they were good. I thought that police one, to bring it up, that was the only one that screamed too on the nose. That we're in the brothel and we're with the hookers, and then Roxanne starts to play, "You don't have to put on the red light." It's like, come on. Like, I don't know. I thought that
was even
real on the nose.
Pick up the Roxanne reference. I just appreciated they were playing the police while showing the corrupt police. I was like, hell yeah.
It worked out so many another,
yeah.
There's another song directly before this where Alfonso and Monkey Man were riding the elevator up together, and it was really quick, but it was an elevator song where it was like, I don't want to do this no more. And then it just, they walk out, and it, you know, it's like trying to leave that life behind. It was just, a lot of this is so well placed.
Totally agree.
But Monkey Man, as we alluded to, or Bobby Bleach, replaces the cocaine that he's distributing. This one vial, he replaces the cocaine with bleach and gives it specifically to the police chief so that he takes it and then gets sick and has to go to the bathroom so that Monkey Man can quietly follow him in, lock the door behind him, and pull his gun on him. The one mistake Monkey Man didn't do is checking the rest of the bathroom before his big plan, because as happens again later, for a man so pointedly stuck on revenge, he gets distracted quite easily because a toilet flushes and it causes him to look just enough away to where Rana springs the attack. So there's this big scuffle in the bathroom. Another just fantastically choreographed fight scene that is just brutal in its visceral effectiveness. There's a lot of great shots. And Ryan?
Yeah, I just want to go back to the only thing that foiled this plan was he didn't check the surroundings. No, he also had to deliver the line, like, this is for my mother. Like, there were so...
Oh, true.
He could have just pulled the trigger so quickly, and all of this would have been ended.
But Inigo Montoya wouldn't have done that.
That's the ultimate. You got to have a cool kill line.
He had to have the line. He had to have the line and be a badass, and it cost him. This movie would have been done in 10 minutes if he just stuck to his gun, literally.
Mm-hmm. Did he have to have the line? Is it a matter of having to have the line, or is he still, this is finally his moment, and he had to say the thing? It's not an action movie thing, but...
Rana had to know why he was being got. He couldn't just be got. He had to know the reason for it, even though... I'm sure he did terrible things to lots of people's mothers. But imagine just being that guy in the bathroom. Like, you're just going to the bathroom, you come out, and like all of a sudden you're getting shot, you're getting beat up. You're like, I'm going to get this gun for myself to save myself, maybe. You get your face slammed into the toilet seat. It's just like
such a great
just
scene.
A regular dude in the bathroom. I mean, admittedly, of a pretty horrible place, so he probably had it coming in one way or another. But like...
Up until this point, like, I thought the fight scenes had been okay. A lot of them were very structured in, like, a fighting environment. This was the first fight that, like, I sat forward. I was paying attention. I was like, oh, we've got some really cool stuff here. I love immediately, like you said, this poor guy that flushed the toilet. When he hits the gun out of his hand, that dude catches a bullet in the leg.
He's just out of nowhere. Now.
Imagine being the first person to die is just the rando in the bathroom. You know, I did read something where Dev Patel said that he wanted it filmed in such a way that it was more like a mauling, and I thought that was fascinating, dude. Like, yeah, this dude's been in this underground fight ring and circuit for all of this time, but he's actually now in that position that he's been imagining for the last 20 years and doesn't exactly know how to handle it now that it's not gone exactly to how he thought for the last X amount of time.
You play something over in your mind so many times, you expect it to go a certain way. If it changes a little bit, it throws you off.
Yeah.
So eventually, despite his best laid plans, he does not succeed and executing Rana. And because of the fact that like two or three gunshots have gone off in this bathroom, all the upper class clientele start to panic and everybody starts to run away. Whereas security realizes something is up and goes to try to rescue Rana. So Monkey Man knows that he's missed his chance and needs to escape. So I love he shoots out the fish in a row. He throws part of the broken toilet into the fish tank, rolls over it, and starts to run away. And then we get another fantastic part of this movie, which is these insanely frenetic chase scenes with light comedy. Because I love when he's looking at the window and he's psyching himself up. And then Monkey Man runs at this window to fucking break out of it and get out and just bounces off.
So good.
I took that as it being slightly grounded in realism.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, those windows do not break.
I get, like, a bunch of Danny Boyle from this. Like, and it's... Mm-hmm. Dev Patel was with him on Slumdog Millionaire. And, like, the scenes of, like, Dev Patel and Slumdog Millionaire running around Mumbai, fucking really similar to, like, this movie. Like, that same kind of... As you said, frenetic, kinetic camera. Like, it's almost one for one. And I do think there's, like, a huge influence there from that.
So, Monkey Man eventually works his way down secretly to the parking garage and is able to get in the driver's seat of Alfonso's tuk-tuk, which we saw earlier, which is his fancy little tiny car that goes very, very fast. He gets into it and takes off, but stops so that Alfonso can get picked up too.
Man, the way that this tuk-tuk is set up, the speed that it has, this thing is a fuck-fuck.
Yeah.
This thing rules.
That's why they called it Nikki.
What's crazy is that that thing could only go 4 miles an hour in real life. So it's just fantastic editing to make it look like it's zooming all that.
Did you guys catch the license plate on that bad boy?
Sexy boy?
I did not.
Sexy boy.
So good.
Okay. He's just a sexy boy.
Nikki's one of my favorite characters in this movie.
Nicki Minaj. Big trunk, nice headlights.
That is the name of the tuk-tuk. I forgot that. Very fitting, very apt. But again, this is another great chase scene throughout the city in this tuk-tuk where we get the thing has fucking Nas and it like... They fucking ram up through that. It eventually gets hit when he stops at a child in the middle of the street.
He home alones that kid?
He does home alone the kid. And then gets plowed into. Alfonso departs him, and he gets arrested. I was really surprised at this scene at this point. I did not expect him to get picked up. He gets knocked out by the police who eventually catch him. And I was like, well, fuck, man. What's going to happen here? God damn. Then we get even more because he wakens in the back of the police transport truck
and it fucks everybody up.
Dude, it takes him like a second. He wakes up and nobody even realizes it. And then he's just back into the fucking action.
Amazing.
And then we're getting real. I love the brutality escalation throughout this movie because it starts off, like I said, with these kind of air quote tame fights in the ring. But then, like, each time an encounter happens, it gets more visceral. And I think, like, three cops get shot in the face, and then he blasts the lock off and jumps out onto the next person's car.
Why was that truck 7 inches behind this police vehicle? These streets need some fucking control.
It felt very Universal Soldier to me that, like, oh, the good guys got caught by the police, and now they have to break out of the police. And... just reminded me of last week. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The difference this time, if Dev Patel showed his buns, big fan then.
Oh,
the difference this time is instead of getting caught by the police, Monkey Man escapes through an underground brothel. And reference later, we're going to hit the butt scale, fellas. I talk about the escalation of brutality. There's a new one where the brothel owner is upset because he has an underground illegal brothel and Monkey Man has brought the police to his door. So he comes to Monkey Man with an axe and boy howdy, that poor guy that gets the first axe to the face innocently. And then this guy, Monkey Man eventually gets the upper hand on him. The police shoot this guy. Monkey Man runs yet again. frantic chase through the city. It eventually ends with him catching a sniper bullet and falling into, you know, that super clean water in India that is just well known for its purity and cleanliness and holiness.
This is the only part of the movie that bugged the hell out of me, because he gets rescued by Deus Ex Jungle Tribe.
Yeah.
And we don't know how. It just sort of happens. He's somehow scooped out of this river as he has a sniper bullet wound, and he wakes up. They're pulling the sniper bullet out of him somewhere else. It was the only part of this movie that really bugged me.
It's also 100% a trope we've seen in a million fucking movies. Like, MacGruber made fun of this trope of, like, losing it all and then, like, retreating into the wilderness and, like, having to be called back from, like, the wild, essentially. And, like, you're learning these skills with, like, these... MacGruber did this as a parody of older
MacGruber
movies.
MacGruber did do that. But the thing is that it's kind of like the other direction, the other road less traveled of the hero's journey, because it doesn't create a reluctant hero at that point. It just creates like, all right, here's the next thing. It's, I mean, Kung Pao Enter the Fist does the exact same thing.
Which is
I
another
cannot
parody.
Believe I'm saying
yeah,
that for
that's
Monkey
right.
Man.
Yeah.
But it is, it's a trope. And this, I don't it's think this movie does enough differently to really deviate from that trope. And I don't think it does it bad. I'm just saying.
I don't think it wants to.
It is that trope.
It is straight revenge. He's not being a hero. It's straight revenge.
It is foot
not
down
necessarily
on the gas because he
revenge.
Also takes on the spirit of Hanuman at the end. So it does get a little middled because he is almost like imbued with like this holy spirit. So it is. It's muddled. Yeah. It's not as
I
clean
I
want to
talk
cut.
About that in great detail when we get there, because you're absolutely right, and I want to get there.
It's
we go
very
from
fast.
Home
it's
Alone
weird.
To Moana remembering who he is. Remember who you are. anyways, I think the only really redeeming thing about this whole rescued by this tribe thing is that they actually planted, I wouldn't say plant the seed for them, but at least they alluded to these folks earlier in the movie during one of the news broadcasts where they're talking about how the Hijra or the trans folk were like pushed out of the area. So it's not like it was some random, it was nice to put the pieces together and be like, oh, that was kind of just mentioned as an offshoot earlier in the movie and it actually came back.
Right. This movie is, I mean, the bad guy is the police and the weird Raja man who kind of controls the police. And what they're doing is just trying to grab land. They're no different than Lex Luthor.
Yep.
We had some brief discussion before the episode kicked off. But I had wrote Sean yesterday that this movie fucking ruled. And then I asked him today, I was like, hey, do you know why I thought this movie ruled? And he said,
were you upset he didn't follow up with you? Is that the problem?
No, he hadn't watched it yet. But it's this thing, like Ryan had said, it, like, or I was like, this movie is almost like it was tailor written by Dev Patel for me at this exact moment in time for the social themes it hits on.
Yeah,
I personally love the trope that he's rescued by this people. I love that he's twisting it though, and that this is a tribe of trans people that are on the fringes of society themselves. And you know, they're downtrodden. Nobody fucking likes them. Nobody wants them around. And even more fun fact, this movie had to be switched to be filmed in Indonesia, and all of the trans actors that had these parts couldn't travel to Indonesia to film them because it's illegal there. So that's why all of the people in this movie are just men in drag, essentially, because like in real life, the trans people are marginalized. They couldn't actually do the work.
Right.
And not to... I don't want to keep piling onto this because we're literally only halfway through the movie right now, but like
it goes faster from here.
Yeah, it really does. But it's really crazy that earlier in the movie, they got pushed out of where they are. And so they took up this residence in this temple, which then they are, spoilers, future, going to try to get pushed out of where they had to end up from being pushed out from where they were. It's like you are already displaced. And where you ended up, you can't be there either. Go somewhere else.
Yeah, no, it's completely unprecedented. This has never happened to any Indians ever in the world.
No.
Or marginalized people, or a poor person, or, yeah. It's just, oh my God, this fucking revenge boner I get from this movie, dogs. God damn
it. I've seen it.
What?
So we have, at this point, we have the usual monkey man goes on a hallucinogenic trip to find himself. I love this great little scene where, like, he rips open his chest and we get this weird, like, sort of almost...
I saw the TV glow.
I guess I saw it more as like a, like when you see the picture in a pregnant lady of, what is that called? The ultrasound.
Ultrasound.
It almost looked ultrasoundy, and then we see just the tiny speck of the mango, like, start to glow in his center heart, and we come out. I love the main trans leader that, like, really helps him find himself.
Alpha.
And, mm-hmm. and come to terms with, like... He always felt like he failed his mother, and he helps him show, like, no, you tried to save your mother. You did the right thing. But sometimes it's not enough, no matter how hard you try or how hard you want it. And that was a beautiful thing, and it's just what Monkey Man needed to hear at that point.
I think it is what he needed to hear, but I think the more important person is dude on the bongos.
Oh, man. We're going to get there.
Dude on the bongos.
We're going to get to him.
Dude on the bongos was just like the dude on the front of the car in Mad Max with the guitar. Like, I was just hyped.
I think it's important to note that while all this is happening, you have that cut to Baba Shakti, who is telling people, we have to find this monkey man, because right now he's just a dude who did a bad
he's
thing.
A nobody.
But he has the potential to become a symbol.
Man, that seems strikingly relevant to, like, a recent Italian plumber.
Right?
Who's also related to Chuck Mangione. Weird.
Weird.
Goddamn. But, so we do get this really sweet-ass training montage a la Rocky, where Monkey Man is using the things in the forest to get stronger. He's doing the boxing against the rice. But I love that... The bongo man is teaching him to fight. He's teaching him the basic 1-2 combo and the 1-1-2 combo with the high pitch drum and the low pitch drum going ding ding boom, ding ding boom, letting him know, oh, two punches and a big one, two smalls and a big one. And then he starts moving all this stuff through and rhythmically up, and Monkey Man starts following. And I didn't want to mention it earlier because you guys talked about him purposely throwing the fights. I disagree. I don't think he knew how to fight very well. I think he got his ass kicked for money willingly, but he didn't do well because he didn't really know what to do. And in this sort of restructuring of himself, the bongo man helps him find the natural rhythm of himself to fight better as the monkey.
I agree. That's kind of why I was so... conflicted earlier, because I was on both sides of the fence and I couldn't figure out where to go. But kind of tapering off of what you're saying with that montage, this is a whole like 15-20 minute extended long scene of him training and just getting himself ready. So this is a 2-hour long movie. This literally takes up a sixth of the movie, this whole training sequence that goes from what you're talking about and the tabla sky, which is the name of that drum, so we don't seem super uncultured. But then
I'm
it
very
also
uncultured.
Goes...
I'm trying.
You're welcome. But then it leads into this whole political thing and how this election day is coming up, and you have this whole sovereign party being run with this guy that's backed by Baba, and Baba's giving this super impassioned rally, and it's weird that his rally speech was hyping me up, but it was because he was just his tone was increasing, but also with his tone increasing, the montage of Monkey Man training was getting more intense, and so I'm getting rallied to see this guy who's talking get his ass kicked, and I just thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, the whole thing was giving me Edgar Wright Baby Driver vibes, where like that drum just keeps pounding and getting faster, and the action in the scene is doing the same thing. It's just mirroring the music back and forth. It was just so well done.
So after Monkey Man learns to fight in the forest, he goes back to Charlton Copley, the tiger, and he's going to fight again. We've billed it as the return of the beast. But Before that, we saw Monkey Man do the sin of breaking into the temple's money and stealing their money. For a good cause, we find, because he puts all that money on himself to finally win. And we get this great shot, this huge buildup of him fighting King Cobra, who we've seen beat him twice in the movie. And as soon as the fight starts, he kicks him
one
in the face
done.
Once.
One done. And done.
And I love how the crowd just goes quiet. The ringmaster, he's like, what the fuck was that? Sort of a shock.
Better scene than the crane kick from Karate Kid.
I don't know why I thought you were going to say better scene than with the guy with the swords in Indiana Jones.
That's exactly where I thought he was going to go.
I was so scared you were going to go there. No. Oh,
I don't know how you guys then we get, connected those dots.
Do a lot
another
together.
Guy. We get done Baloo. It for too long. Baloo comes out, who is, this will only hit for a few people, but Sean's one of them. This guy looks like the dude that played the Yeti in WCW.
Yeah, he also looked like kind of like the Great Khali.
Yes, very much like the Great Khali, but essentially
I understand
a
that
giant,
reference.
A giant man comes out, and Monkey Man also very handily beats him up. He doesn't, even with the inclusion of a spike bat,
there's
hello,
the brief
Final
hesitation
Fantasy VII,
where he might not do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I did like that part too. I did even when he's swinging the bat, I love how he's kicking the bat out of the way, and he never gets touched by it. It's great to show like his improvement just over this small time. And, you know, it can be a little bit mystical because he does, we assume, have Hanuman, the spirit, encapsulating him at this point, too.
He absolutely does. And, again, we're going to talk about that when we get to the style a bit more. But I think one of the things that I really, really love about the way Dev Patel played this off is that he is kind of like mauling at the beginning of this movie and through going to the jungle and learning how to fight. And now all of his movements in his fighting is really deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, I have this note here, just a special slide away. Monkey Man is so cocky when he fights now because he feels it. He has that energy. He has that purpose to him now that the temple leader has shown him. And you really see it come through. It's a great just the way that they show, don't tell. Like so much stuff you just see and you realize and understand. So Monkey Man returns to this the King's Club, and just there's two bouncers outside, beats the absolute shit out of them, goes inside, goes into the kitchen where he's familiar, just starts beating the shit out of anybody that comes at him in a black suit, gets into the elevator, works up, immediately starts fucking people up.
It's amazing how you start with like this ring, and the ring is just one-on-one. It's still an open space. They still manage to make it feel like it's a confined space. But the spaces start to get more confined, which just makes it feel more violent. He actively pushes people into an elevator to fight them in the elevator. He's outnumbered in this small space, and he's willing to do it. He is an unstoppable force at this point, and the movie knows that, and I love how they lean on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that elevator scene is a one-shot and is incredible.
So well done.
Holy shit.
I like the way he goes and after he wins these fights in at the underground boxing ring, he dyes the monkey mask white.
With
because
bleach.
Now he believes that he is the Hanuman and he shows up to the club and it lasts for about 20 seconds.
Yeah, I was really upset that he took the mask off. I was kind of hoping he'd keep it on the whole time.
I wanted a little more mask time.
Rana, but yeah, you got to show that pretty Dev Patel face.
I was going to say, you don't put a bumper sticker on a Bentley, man.
But I like the symbolism of dyeing the mask.
If Downey Jr. could do it, Dev Patel can do it. Put on the mask for at least 10 minutes. It's fine. It's fine. We need that monkey man.
John Krasinski.
I do agree. I wish he would have worn the mask in more for especially this fight in the main room where like all of the dudes come out. We get sort of the Kill Bill giant collaborative scene where he takes out a lot of dudes. But then even more dudes show up to the point that like he's pretty overpowered. And then, God damn it, the trans heroes come in. And holy fuck do these ladies have another bone to pick.
Hell
and
yeah.
They do not hold back either.
My favorite part of this scene is that you have one instrument playing the whole time. It's just Dev Patel. And then when they show up, it's a whole, the transitions
right
to that song.
So yes. That song,
that all pause right,
so
too.
Ryan will tell you, when I get excited in a movie, I do a certain thing. I put my hands together and I do this. When that fucking guitar hit and this gent fucking like almost Doom 2016 style, like when that shit started going off and everybody's getting cut the fuck up, dude, I was like, yes, yes. I was literally sitting right here fucking screaming. I was so hyped, dude.
I just want to point out that while Kyle made the musical noises, he was slapping the bass.
Oh, that's, that was more of a
that is not what you did. You went
I was right doing this. It was all jig guitar. It's just loosely strung, so it sounds
let's
like
keep,
a bass.
We'll keep dragging out the visual part of this. This is great.
But so yeah, the trans ladies come in and they start helping out and taking care of a lot of these people to where Dev can start to get away until Queenie shows up and starts shooting at him. But then we get another Schrodinger's gun with the Schrodinger's prostitute with the heart of gold, who shows up and hits her in the back of the head with a silver platter, which is another great commentary on the class system. And then we get another great brutal scene where Bunky Man uses this tray to, and he stomps on it to cut off Queenie's thumb. Because, as been alluded to earlier in the movie, Queenie is the only one that can access the upper level of the VIP area where the main religious leader is. So he knows he needs her thumb for the fingerprint scanner. Great touch. Because he picks it up and just puts it in his pocket. And it's just a bleeding thumb.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Not wearing a fanny pack to put
your
thumb in.
You want a thumb, dude? I'll get you a thumb.
Before she started shooting at him, we saw the police chief, Rana. He went up to the next level. And so Monkey Man heads there first. And this is... there's so many references to movies here. I saw this and I thought it was a reference to Tango and Cash. Because we have all these mirrors spinning. And we can't really see who's who and where. And then we get another great, just brutal fight scene. And I had one complaint with it, but we'll get into that later. But I really like just the cinematography. There's a couple shots where, like, each mirror on this spinning wall disc shows either Dev or Rana. And just that, God, it was really well framed and shot.
The way that it's framed reminded me of Wong Kar-wai. Mm-hmm. The way that it's also shot. But it's like if you cut... like 20 seconds sooner than Wong Kar-wai would have cut. Because he drags out his shots because his shots are fucking gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But it feels like that's the way you're lining up. A lot of this movie feels like a Wong Kar-wai movie, but if he made an action movie. A
lot of shallow focus. So much shallow focus in this movie.
It was very reminiscent to me and of... It was either the ending of like John Wick 2 or John Wick 3. Where it's just like in that room of just mirrors and glass all over the place with that's two.
I think that's three. Oh,
that's
two.
Okay. Well, three also shit. They both
three
of
has
them.
The glass.
It's
house
both with, of them.
Yeah,
he has a Ruby Rose one in two, but he also has the one with the raid people in three.
I'm thinking of the one with Ruby Rose, but regardless, like
Ruby Rod,
Ruby
Chris
Rod.
Tucker in the Fifth Element.
Mm-hmm. different movie.
Yeah. Anyways,
so we're literally here. We're wrapping up and then we'll get into this. I love that if Monkey Man had succeeded earlier, like Ryan said, he could have ended everything here because his goal was just Rana. But after he becomes Hanuman, he realizes Rana isn't he did the action, but he wasn't the person that put the actions in motions. And that's where we also have been cutting back to him as a child, seeing this black car with this Rolls Royce style emblem. We put together that is the religious leader that made the police go in and clear out this village. So,
mm-hmm. And it even gets to the point after he dispatches of Rana, you do have the political face who's basically who's running for this sovereign office or as a sovereign party. He sees him. He's in the room and just lets him go. Lets him run away.
Because he knows he's just a figurehead. He's a nobody.
Exactly. He is not somebody who's pulling any strings. He just lets him go and goes up to Queenie's office to finish off this movie.
And confront the main bad guy he does. Again, I kind of got some sort of Tango and Cash vibes, but just your general villain monologue. I thought this guy delivered a pretty great monologue. And he, again, The one complaint, Monkey Man gets distracted easily by a helicopter, which lets this guy use his sandal swords to stab him. I love, though, the block. Monkey Man stops the second one with his hand and turns that around on him, and he does get his revenge.
I think that this baddie is just so menacing because you get that shot of this long bathtub almost, pool type thing that he's just at the end of, and he's got his one foot in the water and he's just wading it along as he's talking to Monkey Man. And I found it so unnerving how he wasn't bothered that his pant leg was in the water.
I hated that too. I would feel so bothered by it, but I noticed it too, and I was like, God damn, this guy's cold and ruthless. He doesn't give a fuck about nothing.
He must be, because that would annoy him. You only got the one pant leg? That's going to be wet. You're going to be feeling that the entire time. Like, you're that sinister. This isn't going to bother you.
I would be miserable for 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah. But no, Monkey Man, of course, gets the upper hand against this older gentleman and stabs him a fuckload of times. And then, as all of these scumbags do in this situation, he tries to bargain his way out of it. I'll give you anything I want. And of course, he can't, because the only thing Monkey Man has only wanted is his mother, which this guy killed when he was a kid. So Monkey Man finishes the fucking job, kills these scumbags, cut to fucking credits, baby.
With a fantastic line, too.
I have it written down.
Yeah, we'll get there, I guess.
Oh, we can go out with it, because the last thing he says is, only God can forgive you now.
Yeah, after Baba asks for mercy, and he just... Mm-hmm. Sends that home.
So that's Monkey Man.
That is
a quick
Monkey
wrap up. That's my synopsis, fellas.
Yeah.
Could have been better.
Hey.
You hit the beats.
The listeners know what happened in this movie.
Exactly.
Okay.
That is for
good.
That's for sure.
That is for sure. But with that, I want to talk about how kick-ass this was with you guys. And if you are a new listener, we only do the scale during our action movie months, which are December and July. We call it the Kick-Ass-O-Meter. It is a list of categories that we have that all have kind of arbitrary amounts assigned to them based on how much categories, how much they mean to an action movie. So like action quality can be 0 to 5, story 0 or 1, you know, the little things, they all add up to 23. So once we're done giving each one of these categories a score, we are going to get a tally out of 23. Plus one if there's
as
a
you do.
Weapon. Yeah. As you do. As you do. If you didn't know, well, now you know, sucker.
And if you don't, I like it.
23
more
me
of that.
And you.
Yes. More of that. I can do that. All right. Our first category, guys, is going to be the most important category on the Kick-Ass-O-Meter. It is the action quality category. This is how we each interpret how the action quality is of this movie. It can go from a score of a 0 all the way up to a score of a 5. And Dave, I want to start off with you.
I'm going full marks right away. Full marks, full-blown 5 on this thing. I think the way that it's shot is a whole lot more impressive than Dev Patel actually being on screen. They do a really cool thing with the camera throughout this entire movie where it's a very, very intimate camera. And full shout out to Sharon Meyer for this thing. I think it's how you say his name, at least. Unreal cinematographer, where he's able to capture all these close-up shots during all this action. You can still read the look on the actors' faces the entire time that everything's going. It feels like it's got this frenetic energy, as Kyle said. But at the same time, you get long one shots going on throughout all this fighting, and then you weirdly start cutting a whole lot more when you get to the reaction shots of it. So you kind of take the expectation, reverse it a little bit more, so it makes the action stand out even more by putting it in that oneer. I think that a lot of the set pieces are pretty unique. I mean, it's you throw him in a confined space, let's see how he gets out of it type scenario. Dev Patel kicks all the asses. I'm going full-blown 5.
You will go full-blown 5. Dave, how about whoever gives one sends it to the next person?
Sure, Ryan, I'm looking at you.
With an R.
All right, okay.
With a B, because Ryan panicked.
I did panic. Ryan, go ahead. Wait, huh? Am I going?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right. I just didn't want to follow you because you're so like jazzed on it, and I love that. But I don't feel like I can give this a full five. It's really close. So I'm not going to bury the lead. I'm going to give it a 4.5. And now I'm going to explain why instead of starting with my nitpicks first. That makes it sound all negative-y. But I do feel
if
like...
If you say 4.5 with a 0.5 bump, I'm going to fight you.
I'm not going to do that. It's just a straight 4.5 because it is really close to being great. But like a lot of this I have seen elsewhere. And this is... the cinematography is great. Everything you said is right. I agree 100%. I have seen this in almost all of the Gareth Evans stuff, like The Raid 2. They did this too. I think he's got a lot of really good influences, and he does something really good with it. But in the same way, like, I couldn't say, like, a Quentin Tarantino thing is, like, a 5 out of 5. I feel like a little demerit is owed just for maybe some of the influence of it. I didn't see anything here that was just like, wow, that's wholly new. Except for maybe when we get to the special weapon. The special weapon, there was a special weapon that was very... I was like, that's fresh, and I like that. I want more of that. But a lot of the things I've seen, I have seen. And now I think I've been talking a lot. So 4.5.
And you said
who are you kicking it to?
Brian, I cut you off, maybe? I didn't read that right, so I'm going to make it right, and now it's your turn.
Okay. I'm going to bump it back up to a full 5. This movie kicks ass for all the reasons that Dave said, for most of the reasons that Ryan said. Full 5.
For 4.5 reasons that Ryan said.
For 4.5 of the reasons that Ryan said. No, it's a blast, and the action is excellent the whole way through once it finally starts. Mm-hmm. Because you do have those boxing scenes that are short and few between the first half of the movie, and then the second half of the movie is just balls to the wall for the rest of the way. So, yeah, it's a 5 for me, because you're not waiting for that to start, but once it does, it just feels so good. So, yeah, 5. Kyle?
No surprise here. I'm a full 5 on this one. I loved every single bit of action in this. Like I said, I was a little off put at the start. I enjoyed the start fights, but the fact that each fight ramps up the visceralness, the brutalityness. There are some things in this movie I haven't seen in an action movie. That elevator fight scene where he fights the dude with the knife.
That was my, that was it.
Just sort of sticks it in. And
that's my special weapon. You ruined it.
I'm sorry. I've got a different one that I think will still give us a bonus point. But when the guy has both of his hands, and so he just uses his mouth and puts it in further and pulls it out. Yep. There's another fight scene with like a broken bottle where like he's jabbing it into a dude's neck like 3 times, and it's just, he like gets him in here and just jabs him twice.
That's in
it's
the raid.
It's so fucking just goddamn
brutal. He
bites
that guy's nose off like 3 yeah. separate times. It's,
dude, when he looks at the little girl, and you can just tell he's like, I'm so sorry you're going to see
I'm
this.
I'm so sorry, I got to eat this schnoz, man. The schnozberries taste like schnozberries.
And then he fucks that dude up with that axe, dude. Like, there's so much cool stuff that I haven't seen or you see so rarely, but like that knife fight, just... The dude, when he trips the guy in the bathroom scene and he hits his head on the toilet, I was like, all right, I am fucking in on this. What are we going to do here? Because I was fully on board. So again, 5. I'm shutting up. Sean, take us out.
This is full 5 for me. Echo everybody. The only thing that I can add on is that, while I have seen a lot of this done before, it is the way I think, like Dave said, that it was shot. And to add on to what Dave said, it's some of the camera work in this was just so insane on how like the use of reflections paired with jump cuts, but also it will swivel into almost a first person view to then almost immediately pivot out of that, which you would think after listening to Crank that I would hate that, but it was one of the coolest experiences watching this movie and
it's
how it just pivoted in and out.
Yeah. This camera is just all energy.
Yeah,
all energy. Even in the slower parts with reaction shots, how you see the cameras capturing the eyes. There's a lot of eye acting in this movie. This camera is just phenomenal, the way he used it.
Yep.
So I think that's going to average us out to a 5 on that first one.
That is a full-on 5 for us. The next category, folks.
Say, listeners, please go watch Monkey Man, but also go watch Gareth Evans' movies. Please. They're very similar in action. And if you like what's in Monkey Man, you're going to like Gareth Evans.
And honestly, I guarantee you mentioned John Wick like twice today, but this movie takes more
from the Raid.
It takes
and the
more
Raid
inspiration
two.
From we'll get there, but Bruce Lee and
oh yeah,
like South mm-hmm. Korean flick, like. It's not mm-hmm. intended to take a lot of inspiration from your typical American action movies. Mm-hmm. But, and talking about action movies, antagonists are pretty important. And I rate their importance at about a maximum of 4 out of 23 points. Or, no, that's not what I meant. Ignore that. Scratch it. Maximum of 4. Let's start with Kyle. Where are you going?
I don't have much to say. We kind of alluded to it earlier. I think Rana is a perfect villain. He's intimidating. He's big. He's imposing. He has the religious figurehead behind him pushing him. When he's just standing there with the mustache and the cop sunglasses, you know he's bad. It's perfect. I love this guy. I give it a full 4. I'm going to kick it to Dave.
I'm going to go with a 3. And I say that because Rana's henchy. He's not the baddie at the end of the day. He's the guy who did the bad thing that forced our hero into action. He's the catalyst behind this whole thing. But the Baba Man, he's the baddie. And I always like whenever you find out that the guy that's being hunted, being chased, the guy you're trying to get the revenge on isn't the actual bad guy. I love that little twist at the end, how there is just a bigger fish out there. And the bigger fish is kind of like the more moral kill, if you will. Like, this one's for me. The next one is for everyone. I kind of like that. So I'm going to go 3. And I'm going to kick it to Sean.
I'm going to give this... I like not going first because then I can get talked off my ledge of like going full hog 4. I'll give Might it 3.5. Basically, for what you said, Dave, I will say, though, as a henchy, if we're calling Rana a henchy, he is... so badass. Like, you have Monkey Man coming in there and firing homemade rockets at him that he just backhands out of midair. Like, this dude is a badass. I just talked myself back up to a 4.
Hell yeah. I heard Ryan what I said.
With a B.
I'm also giving this guy a 4. I agree that he is a henchman of Baba Shakti, but... he is the proper main villain for Monkey Man. So the first whole half of the movie, he's just going for revenge. But this is the guy he's going after. This is his main focus. He has a secondary mission when he finally reaches the point of the movie where he kills him and has to take out Baba Shakti for everybody, like you said. So I feel like they're both A-level villains in this movie. So I feel comfortable giving it a 4. I also feel they almost gave Rana the Jaws treatment. Like, they didn't really show him very often. Mm-hmm. They kind of like
he
teased him. They're like, we're gonna.
They kept getting water in the mechanics, and just Rana wouldn't turn on.
That's what happened. That puppeteering.
Well, I put together a cheat sheet for these episodes that has pictures of all the people in it, and like, I could not find a shot of just like a medium shot of Rana. They're either all super close up or he's like way in the background. They never really focus the camera on this guy, and it keeps him very intimidating. So it is a 4 for me, and it's going to go over to Ryan for the final.
I'm with Dave at a 3, mostly for the reasons he said, but I will also push back that even if we want to say Rana's the most intimidating one and that, you know, the big religious figure at the end isn't really that, and we're just solely going off of Rana. Hindsight, having seen this a few months ago, I completely forgot about Rana until I watched it again, because he isn't really super memorable. And maybe this is because I'm watching on average a movie a day that I've seen so much that it pushes it out. But I like, for me, I don't think he was as flamboyant as like attention getting. Like, there wasn't a style that was super memorable. He wasn't like, outside of the big impetus of killing Dev Patel or Kid's mother, we didn't really see a lot of like his real bad shit. Like, he just was, I don't know. I thought he was good and very intimidating, as Sean said. I think just like, dude, when he shows up on frame, I'm like, there's no way fucking Monkey Man's got this. But I just wish there was like a little bit more flair from him. I think he's a three.
Okay. Well, that will bring us to a grand total of 3.5 for antagonist, if we're rocking point fives.
Okay.
Which leads us next into the body count. On a scale of 0 to 3, let's send it to Brian with a B first.
I'm at a point now where I don't know what it's going to take for me to give a 3. Because, goddamn it, I like this. And there were so many deaths and so many good ones. But there's still something missing for me. So I'm only giving this a 2.5 on the body count. I don't know what it's going to take to get me to a 3 yet. But
it's your unicorn. Once you find it.
Once I find it, I'll know. Yeah. So 2.5 for me, Dave.
So I do know what it would take to get me to a 3. And it's Oppenheimer. So I'm going with a 2.5 also here.
I don't know. A lot of that's off camera.
Kyle, go ahead.
For this one, and I mean, I'll just fucking throw it out there. Spoiler alerts for the rest of them. Boys, this movie has perfect high marks on me for every category. I feel like body count nailed it. This is the biggest body count we've had this month.
Yeah.
And I don't think Lethal Weapon 4 matches it. Not only do we have a high body count, there are memorable ways we get to that body count. The toilet bash trip face scene, the knife with the throat, the guy's head that he puts on the burner, the bottle in the neck. So many of these are just awesome, brutal, visceral. When the trans warriors show up, dude, and they are just cutting the fuck out of everybody.
Oh, so good.
I think absolutely a 3.
This little
me.
Sickles.
Mm-hmm. Ryan.
I'm with Brian. It's a 2.5. I really like it too. I love a lot of it. I just feel like I have seen movies where they're literally, and this is because it's a lot of Japanese weird fucking shit, but like there are literally just bodies lining floors. Mm-hmm. And so like this isn't that. I have seen bodies in movies, and this is not that. 2.5. Close.
Kyle, I gotta say that I'm glad that you mentioned it. That stove where he puts the dude's head on the stove and breaks the liquor over his head and lights it on fire.
And it just whoosh.
I have so never seen cool. that before in a movie, and that popped me so fucking hard. That was so awesome. But I am gonna give this I'm gonna give it a 2.5 because I feel like he didn't even really. He's not responsible for a lot of the people dying, like,
does
you know,
matter?
When it actually comes down to it, that last fight scene where you have the trans coming in, they killed like 90% of those people. Ron is killing a shitload of other people. Like, he doesn't even have that high of a body count. And I guess it doesn't really matter. Is it talking about everyone in general? I don't know. It didn't seem like it was a lot of people that mattered, but they were all very memorable and it was very cool. But that's action quality, not body count. 2.5, which gives us 2.5. Shocker.
Yep, that's what the average is that I got too. So
setting and theme out of a total of 3 points. Dave, you said you wanted to touch back on this, so let's send it to you first.
I did. I think the setting is really, really well done. It's Mumbai. You kind of get the streets a little bit, but the way that they do these clubs is really interesting, especially when you look at you're kind of above ground clubs that are like Queenie's Club that has these blues, these purples. But then you go to the underground fight club where you have Kid, the Monkey Man, kind of embodying what the Monkey Man spirit is. And you get everything a bit more sepia toned and washed out. It reminded me actually a lot of Cinderella Man, the way that it was shot. Mm. How it feels very dusty and dirty and old and just kind of, I don't know, that's a more of a period thing. But I love the way that, again, the cinematography of it, I can't get my head off of it. Cinematography is a lot more than just the way the camera moves. The majority of what cinematography is lighting. And it's really capturing the vision of the director and putting it into a cinematic way, something that can be presented, creating the visual language of the movie. And I love the way that he's able to, as Kid, use these more bright colors as he kind of goes about the world. And then as Monkey Man uses this really, really washed out sepia tone browns, oranges. And I think it's even more brilliant how at the end of this movie, when he goes up against Baba Shakti, it goes from the sepia tone to this blue and pink thing. He's not Monkey Man in the situation. He is him again. He is actively making this choice to kill the Baba. He's not being embodied by some sort of spirit anymore. I think that's a really important thing for the character, and I think it's entirely told in the cinematography of it. I'm going full marks on this. Which is two? It's so arbitrary, I can't keep track.
It's
three?
It's three. Who are you kicking it to?
It's important.
I'm kicking it to Sean again.
I really just want to follow up on that. I could not stop talking about the cinematography in this movie. I meant it's the first thing that I talked about when we even started this call earlier. Dave, every single point. This is the first time I've ever actually looked up a cinematographer because I wanted to give them a shout out. You've got the contrast from the dull underbelly to the neon VIP and the flamboyant parade in between. And when you're in the VIP sections, like the colors, the tones, the contrasting colors that just give such a beautiful shot, the playing with silhouettes, like so much stuff in this movie. Like I have not been able to stop thinking about just the shots in this. What's up?
I'm obsessed with the way that he shoots faces. Not like he did with the cops, like he actually films them. Obsessed with it because he does get so up close and personal that they have to have the eyes. It has that really shallow focus. So you're kind of really seeing it from his perspective. And again, Sharon Meyer, I don't know how to say his name. I'm so sorry, you're fucking talented and I love you. He did the same thing with Whiplash. The
and
same
Mean Creek.
Thing.
Absolutely.
I'm a huge fan of his.
Shout out Mean Creek.
Yeah. So that's also a full three from me. I feel like I'm just sending it to Brian, but I'm going to do it again because I saw him nodding along.
It's a three for me, too, for the same reasons you guys both just said. There's a couple shots that just stand out so much for me. It's like when Dev Patel pulls the gun on Rana the first time and they get that super close up and his eyes are watering and you can see the shock and panic in his face. It's just so visceral and real, and you don't really see that emotion from a bad guy very often. And then also the other shot that I can't stop thinking about is when they're chasing him out of the club and he goes down the staircase and he pushes that guy against the glass door of like the fire extinguisher. And you get the shot from inside, from behind the glass, as he goes around the corner and down the stairs. It's so good. So fucking good. Three out of three.
Breaking case of emergency, just barely reversed on the screen.
So good. Three out of three. And I'm going to send it over to Ryan.
Thank you. This is setting and theme, right? This is what we're grading?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I agree with everything everybody said. But I'm going to give this a 2.5 because of the theme part. I think the setting's great. I think the cinematography is great. I think the director of photography does a great job. And if we want to say Dev Patel, as a first-time director, is able to, like, he's got ideas. And it's clear they're out there. He is fully formed. He's got a vision. And this is something, like, some directors don't get for several movies. He has it in his first movie, and it's clear. It's great. I think the theme is a bit messy when it comes to the religious stuff. And that's why I would just take off half a point, because theme is part of it. And theme is like what we're talking about, right? And if that's the case, I do think some of it's messy. If we were to translate this into like a Judeo-Christian fable, it would be like somebody obtaining the powers of Jesus and then going up against the Pope and taking them out for being fucking corrupt. It's kind of...
Would watch.
I would watch it too.
Would watch.
But it's messy.
This sounds
like,
awesome.
What is it saying about religion?
It would
religion?
Get really fucking messy, yeah.
And that's maybe time, like because I'm American and I'm not in the Indian culture, maybe I don't fully fucking understand that. And I need to be educated. That's fine. But right now, like some of that religious stuff feels messy to me when it comes to theming. Agreed absolutely on everything else when it comes to the cinematography and setting. Brian, sorry.
So in the scenario that you just set up where he kills the Pope, the movie would have previously established that the Pope was actually a white nationalist or a Christian nationalist.
Yes.
In yes. which case, I would be rooting for this guy to kill the Pope. Mm-hmm.
But he's using religion to fight religion, but so he's like, it's like the good religion, and I don't know.
It is a little messy. I can see that.
Still feels a little iffy. That's it. Just a little iffy.
Does he eat the mango?
Not bad. Not bad. I hate being in this position where it's like, I got a small little nitpick.
To go down a 0.5, like it's still really awesome, but yeah. Why are you so upset about knocking it a half point from the best it could possibly be?
Because I can see it.
Because everybody else is so hard on it.
He is pain.
And that's okay.
Everybody else is so hard on this. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm almost there. I'm almost there.
Ryan likes to edge his movies. That's
what he does. And also, we do have to have the disclaimer. Ryan has watched literally 350-some fucking movies this year.
It's almost done, guys.
None of us are even close. So right. It's so, okay that your standards are a bit higher. That's
next
fine.
Year, I'm not watching shit. A bit higher shit. Because
Ryan keeps going back to, like, I've seen it before. It's like, no shit, Ryan. No shit you've seen it before.
You've seen it 350 fucking times. I'm going to just jump in. I said I'm perfect. I feel a three. You guys mentioned the setting 1,000 times. I'm not going to touch on that. I do want to counter Ryan just a bit with the theme, because I think the theme is perfect. And even religious-wise, I think Hanuman isn't so much a religious figure as a mystical figure. So rather than a Jesus fighting the Pope, it would be like a Genghis Khan type fighting the Pope. I don't know. That's a weird, but that's what I'm coming
to. Genghis Maybe Khan was like, very real. Very much not a myth or a mystical. He was a real person. Historical person.
The weird.
Killed a lot of people.
What's the pink-eyed people?
He made Genghis Khan the Pokemon, guys.
Wow.
It's okay.
The pink-eyed people?
With the blonde hair.
Is Kyle just racing to get canceled?
Are you talking about albinos?
Albinos! The albino guy from the fucking Tom Hanks movie. If that guy killed the Pope.
Powder?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is happening right now?
I think it nails it, though.
I think
man.
I know what you're trying
to say. Theme-wise, if we look at it just as the theme of a revenge movie, the way that it hits everything, the paces, the breadcrumbs, the Schrodinger's guns, there's like 40 Schrodinger's guns in this movie that all come to pay off. I fucking hit all of it. I'm full three. That's all I got to say.
Right on. So that's going to bring us to a three on this. Next category is muscles. Not nearly as important. It's only worth 2 points, 0-2. I'll jump in there. I'll lead this one off because nobody's super muscular in like the traditional action movie sense, but man, did I get some crazy Bruce Lee vibes out of this. And like, would you watch a Bruce Lee movie and be like, zero for muscles? Probably not.
I wouldn't say it to his face.
I'm going to get it a 1.5. And kick it to Kyle.
Again, I played my hand. This is a full two. While I agree we don't get the staple like Schwarzenegger swole action movie muscles, everybody in this movie is cut and toned, and they show them off. King Cobra is always like in like little wrestling tights, and he's fucking cut. Dev Patel's Monkey Man is cut and showing it off. Rana, when he's got all the shirt sleeves rolled up, that dude is swole, so I feel, for the most part, we hit the muscle quota. I'm fine with it, and I might be fluffing it up a bit because I really like this movie, but I'm a two on it.
Send it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me send it to Ryan, Mr. Laugh P.
Muscles. Shit. Yeah, honestly, this is going to be the flip-flop of the antagonist, because whereas I thought, like, man, You know who my villain is Majima from the Yakuza games. I want fucking over the top, just dramatic bullshit. And I didn't get that from Rana. What I did get from Rana was muscles, lots of muscles. And then, as I'm sure Kyle pointed out, the mini butts, those are technically muscles. So I don't know. I feel like a two's, I think a two's fine.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't hate it.
Okay.
Fine.
I got Ryan. Woo.
Yeah. All right, who has not gone then? Is that everybody else besides Kyle?
The two caped boys.
Oh, the two caped boys. Oh, I think I called Brian earlier, so I'm going to go with Dave now.
I'm going 1.5. Dev Patel's cut as shit, but he's not like traditional giant muscles, mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. 1.5.
Okay.
It's the flip-flops.
For me, it's
Brian, it's a two. Last guy.
It's a two for me. It is the appropriate level of muscle for the story that's being told. If you had somebody walking in there that was all Schwarzeneggered out, you'd be like, of course this guy's going to kill everybody. Look at him. But Dev Patel, he's got that lean, just totally cut muscular. I love it. And you're imposing villains, not to mention Baloo.
Baloo 7 foot big.
4 beefy guy. Yeah, it's a 2 out of 2 for me.
I don't know how you can be 7 foot anything and not be big.
Big.
In some way. Yeah. I don't know. That's got to give us a total of 2. Butts, 0 to 2. Ryan with an R.
Yeah. There's just that really one scene. And there's a lot of butts in that one scene, but it is only one scene. Whereas it's like, I would say a 2 is like, you're getting butts throughout. Like the substance, that's a 2 for a butt.
Oh, for sure.
So this is not quite that. I think it's in the middle. I'm going to say 1. There are butts, not a lot of butts. Sean, you look like you're nodding, so I'm going to just throw it back to you then.
1. Same exact thing. It pops up. It gets the obligatory 1, but it's like... It's not, it's just done in that random sex scene that's happening in the other room that, you know, the hero plows through the wall of, and they're and they cover up.
A lot of plowing in that scene.
There is, but it's a 1. It's a 1 from me. Dave.
I'm going 1 as well. You got butts, but I feel like I got to treat the butts kind of like you have a prop. Whenever someone touches a prop on the set, it's a hero prop. I need hero butts. It's only a 1.
Oh, it's going to take me a second to think about that one.
Brian, go ahead. Two.
It's only a 0.5 for me. I want more butts. We had that one. Like Ryan said, it's one scene, and they're not hero butts. It's a 0.5 for me. Kyle.
Wow.
So, of course, I'm a 2, and I'm going to tell you guys why a 2. Number one, you're forgetting butt scenes. Number one, out of the gate, you've forgotten butts, and that's just a goddamn travesty. We have butts as soon as Dev walks into the fancy room with all the sex traffic slaves. There are women walking around in thongs. Those are butts. Then we get to the brothel, where there are many, many naked women. There are butts. There are boobs. There are people banging. This is a 2 for me.
They're I'm very in the minority. Butts, apparently.
This fully nailed the butts for me, so...
Oh my God, wow. You should be a lawyer for butts.
Charlie Kelly, butt law.
Butt law.
Okay,
butt
I got a 1.3 out of this. Where do you guys feel more comfortable? 1 or 1.2?
I think 1's fine. There's one. More 1s. I'm the only 2. We'll give it a 1.
So passionate, all though. Right. I love these because they're just...
I love
I'm
these
glad I got to be the final butt
fire.
Defense.
Music, scale of 0 to 2. Brian.
I'm going 2. 2 out of 2 on this. The music was hitting hard for me on this. I love all of the needle drops. The score was excellent. I love the way they used the drums in the training montage. 2 out of 2. And I'm going to throw it to Kyle.
I'm also a 2, man. I got nothing else to say. I mentioned I love the cover songs. The jit song when the translators are cutting people up literally gave me a half chub. I was so excited. So full 2. Rye guy?
Same. I thought the Roxanne was a bit on the nose, but I can't take points away because I literally loved everything else. And there's such a diversity to the song choices here. I really dug it. That leaves Dave and Sean. So Dave, since I did Sean last time.
I'm going to go 2 as well. Music's appropriate. It's used in really interesting ways. 2.
And Sean, I'm also going to go 2. I misspoke earlier when... talking about the elevator scene, it was I Don't Want to Fight, performed by Tina Turner, that was playing on the elevator. Okay. And it was just like, it was so perfect.
I don't want to fight.
Yeah. And it's just like, from it's there, it only song. Got better. It's a straight up 2. So 2 from that. Quips, 0 to 1. Ryan with an R.
I'm going to go, oh, this is interesting. I don't think there are a lot of quips, if any. But a quip did cause this movie because he had a quip about his mother right before shooting Rana. It kind of caused it. So I'll give it a 0.5 a quip, though it probably maybe deserves a 0 because it's not that kind of movie. Kyle, I don't think I sent it to you yet. Let's see.
You have not. And I've said I'm perfect on all of these, but I'm actually going to change the score. I'm agree with Ryan on a 0.5. There was one quip that I remembered. It was his last line at the end of the movie. It was cool. It was cold, but it's nothing new. And it wasn't so much quippy as just like, yeah, fuck you. God can judge you. So I'm also 0.5. Sean?
I'm going to give it a 0. Because, okay, so there's two lines that I wrote down. One of which was, if I get a single complaint, I'll fuck your happiness. I thought that was fantastic. And also how much I cringed when he went to give the dude that the root shit. And he goes, the pain will leave once it's finished teaching you. And I'm like, that is the most hokey bullshit I've ever heard. Take it away from me. So that one outweighs the other one and gives it a 0. Dave.
0. There's no quips in this movie. Brian.
Also 0. I did not find it to be quippy in the least.
You okay?
That's going to average out to a 0.
A 0. And finally, what everybody's been waiting for, story. It's got to be a 0 or it's got to be a 1. No in between. Kyle.
Hardcore 1. This is one of the better stories of an action movie. Kept me wrapped up. I like how it piecemealed it together. I loved this whole thing, man. Absolute 1. Dave?
Going 1, because this episode's really, really long, so just go listen back and you'll understand why. Sean?
1. Hardcore 1. Ryan?
1. Agreed. Everything. Brian?
Also a 1. It has one of the deeper stories of an action movie, so gotta go full marks.
Yes. All right, so where this stands, that gives it a 1. Where this stands, this movie is sitting currently at the highest in action movies ever tallied, ever, at a 20 out of 23 is what this movie has scored on the kick-assometer. Does anybody want to mention up, for fear of this going much longer, does anybody want to bring up any dope weapons?
I've got one. I know Ryan has one.
Well, I'll kick it to Dave first.
So,
me?
Yep.
The sandal.
Nice.
At the end.
That's
when
a good
stab the
cool.
shit out of the bag. Oh, it's perfect. The sandal.
That's not the one
the
I was
going to
go with.
Terrific. Big fan. What were you going to go with, Kyle?
The homemade fireworks, especially when he jams one in that dude's mouth and blows his head open.
So good.
So fucking cool. Absolutely gets a bonus point, I feel. Ryan?
It's 100% the knife, the scene. Oh my God, it's so cool. He used his mouth to cut open that dude's throat with a knife. That's
so
just
cool.
That's the thing I've never seen. I love that. That's so cool. Sean?
I've never seen that before ever at a movie, but I also didn't take that into account because it was a knife, but also with his teeth, crazy.
Knife
I jotted
in
down
a special way.
It was special. That was a dope way. I had the stove, like jamming the dude's face onto a stove and smashing the liquor bottle over his head was so fucking cool. Brian, I saw you had your hand up.
Oh, I was going to echo the fireworks. Just the use was so cool. I loved it.
Wow. Well, boys.
So I think that definitely gets a bonus point.
A bonus point. So that will give this movie a 21 out of 23 ? Points on the kick-assometer. I cannot believe we've finally watched a movie that's gotten out of, like, I think 14 and a half or something was the highest before. It's just
well done, Sean.
Broke the scale.
Well done.
Surprise. Excellent. We just had to not watch a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie or Mel Gibson. Wow.
Let's see what happens next week.
Yeah, we'll get there in a second. But I do quickly want to give a thanks to all the listeners for sticking around, listening to this little bit extra long episode. It did run a little bit longer than normal, so thanks for
just
hanging
good
around.
Talks, man.
If you did appreciate what you hear, if you like what we do, you may have heard us reference a couple of times something that we've already recorded prior to this that's going to come out on Friday. That is for our Patreon listeners. You can head on over to patreon.com/experiencegrind. Sign up for as little as a dollar. You can get those episodes free weekly. So we really appreciate it. You can find us on most socials. We're on Discord. You can find that right in the link below this episode post, where there's always stuff going on. So join in, have a good time, play some games with us, chat about movies. Was there anything standout, Ryan, that anybody had to say about this movie real quick? I know you had asked in Discord earlier.
Yeah, I think only one person had managed to respond. So that tells me a lot of people have not seen Monkey Man. So first, you all should watch Monkey Man. But Wayward Cross hopped in and said he was really impressed with the action. It came across as something that was made by someone who had a lot more experience, like the Raid movies or The Night Comes for Us, also starring the people from The Raid. If this is Dev Patel's first time directing, I can't wait to see what else he comes up with.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And
I just want to drop a quick note about Discord. Dave and I were discussing it earlier, how pleased we are that it is such a nice community so far. Like, everybody is interacting, talking. It's great. We would love to have everybody in there. Please come join us in Discord. It's a happy, welcoming, happening place.
I legitimately don't know who half of those people are in there.
And they're great.
I appreciate that if you're in there, and I just like enjoying chatting with you guys. Your personalities rule. But that will conclude this week's episode. Guys, what do you have in store for next week?
Sean's out. As typical, we close out every action movie December. We work through all the diehards. We're about to work through all the Lethal Weapons. I think this is our last one, right? There's not a five yet.
Not yet.
So Lethal Weapon 4. We'll have our good buddy Michael on. He always joins us for the last week. And we'll also be deciding what series we're going to tackle next. So join us next week. We'll see where the future's going to take us.
Ooh.
All right. Well, guys, that is it for this episode. Thank you for indulging me on this pick. I'm glad to see that everybody enjoyed the movie that they saw this week. Folks, if you watched along, thanks for indulging me. That was awesome. But until next week, go monkey ball yourself.